Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, my brothers and sisters. Good evening. It is a beautiful Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I am delighted that you decided to stop by and hear the word of the Lord. This is Servant of the I Am. Many of you may know me by my other names, but at this juncture, this is who I am. Servant of the I Am. I make no name for myself. It's all about the Word of God. It's all about Yeshua. It's all about Him. We may have thought that it was all about Him previously, but really in these days and times, it better be about Him, because He is our only source. He is our only chance of traversing this thing called life with any amount of success on the light side, if you know what I mean. So before we get into it, let me go ahead and petition the throne of grace and just settle the atmosphere and just allow the Holy Spirit to settle in and allow Him to begin to minister to you. Allow Him to quicken your ears and have your heart to be ready to receive, because this is a word from on high, and I take it not lightly nor for granted the revelations or the downloads that I get from the Holy Spirit. As you begin to pray and you seek the Lord for deeper revelation concerning the things that are happening in our world at this time, it is vitally important that we continue to commune with the Holy Spirit, that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come before your people this evening with a word from on high, Father God, not my word, but the word, Father God, from the Holy Spirit that will come and to illuminate the passages in the Bible to give us a proper perspective or a right now perspective of what we are seeing and what we are hearing and what's going on in this world today. Your sons and your daughters are listening this evening. Your sons and your daughters are hungry for the word. So, Father, I thank you that you're going to feed them today with the word from the Holy Spirit. I bind and I cancel every distraction, every hindrance that would come to steal, kill, and destroy. Father, I thank you right now that as they're sitting in their cars or they're sitting in their homes, wherever they may be, Father, grab them, Lord God, with the word from on high, that they will not leave here today the same as they sat down. I thank you that they're feasting on the manna, the revelatory word, Father God, on today. And I thank you, Lord God, that we are covered by the blood of Jesus right now. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. Oh, Father God, I thank you that we are protected from on high. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen, amen, and we bless God. Well, my brothers and sisters, I do have to apologize because I jumped ahead of the Holy Spirit when I actually entitled the message, The Spirit of Cain, as well as Jezebel. He said that that's going to be too much meat to chew on in one setting, so I'm having to break it up into two settings or three or however long that he says I need to break it up. So today we'll just be discussing the Spirit of Cain. The Spirit of Cain. Now, where did that come from? Well, about maybe about 5 or 6 months ago, I remember being in prayer. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying that there's going to be wails and cries that are going to be coming up from the earth up unto the Lord. It says that there's going to be the blood of the saints. There's going to be blood of children. There's going to be the blood of the murdered, and there's just going to be a wail in the spirit of murder and lawlessness in the land. And so he brought that back to my remembrance this week when we began to see other shootings, when we began to see all of these things that take place on television regarding murder, murder, murder. And I said, Lord, what will you have me to speak about on today? And the Holy Spirit said, and it brought back to my remembrance the revelation that he gave me about 5 or 6 months ago concerning the cry that's going to be coming up from the land. And many of you know, if you are, have been in church at any time, you know the story of Cain and Abel. And if you don't, let me just give you a really quick run through about it. Essentially, it's this, is that Cain, the firstborn, was born to Adam and Eve, the first man and woman on the earth, as it pertains to the King James Bible. We know there are other Bibles, and we know there are other books, but we're going to talk about Genesis at this point. And according to Genesis, Adam and Eve were the first man and woman on the earth. And Eve begat Cain, which was the oldest son. And then secondly, she begat Abel. And so what happened was that one day, well, let me give you the descriptions of their duties, where Cain was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was the one that watched the sheep. So those were their respective occupations of what, you know, they were doing. And so on the day that they began, that they presented themselves to offer sacrifice unto the Lord, Cain offered something from the ground. He offered something from, I guess you could say, if you want to describe it, his garden, you know, showing his workmanship or his handiwork as far as what he had tilled from the ground, i.e. the garden. And Abel presented himself before the Lord, and he presented a slaughtered animal, shedding of the blood and the whole nine. And so when the Lord accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain, this made him extremely angry, to the point of a rage, to the point of actually murdering his own brother. Thus, we discuss today the spirit of Cain, the spirit of Cain. Well, it's evident, brothers and sisters, that a part of that spirit lies with envy, jealousy, ultimately that results in murder. We understand this. I think we see from the foundation of the earth that there's been such atrocities that have been committed since the beginning of time. Murder, envy, jealousy. They have followed us down from the first man and the first woman to the firstborn son who was jealous of his own brother. But let's go deeper with this conversation, not just topically, not just superficially, of what we can see regarding envy, jealousy, and murder. But this spirit also involves a blood relationship, a blood relationship. Now, let me read you the scripture, then we'll tie it in together. Go with me, take your Bible or your phone, and go with me to Leviticus 17, verse 11. Leviticus 17, verse 11, and it reads as thus. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. I hear the Holy Spirit saying something in addition to what I've written down just now. Basically, what I just heard, and then we'll get back to the text from the Holy Spirit, is that is the enemy's design. But what you just read, what I just read was, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. So therefore, if there is no flesh, if flesh is dead, then there could be no atonement. There can be no atonement. So therefore, Satan's primary goal is what? To kill, steal, and destroy. But it's to kill you before any atonement can be made or repentance could be made unto the Lord, which casts your soul into the lake of fire. That is his ultimate design, to catch you unaware. It to catch you just as in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, and being merry, and, oh, there is no God, or, oh, God is afar off, and those things in the Bible are not real, all sorts of lying and deceitful spirits that have gone out into the world stating there is no God, there is no consequence for sin, and we don't have to live according to this book because it's a book of fairy tales and fables. This lying doctrine is basically having men and women bust hell wide open because they're being caught unawares. They know the name of God, and I didn't realize how this message was going to tie in so much with the last message, like Who do men say that I am? But this is in reference to blood against blood. So it's more than just jealousy and envy and strife. Those are the manifestations of a deeper heart issue. This is a heart issue, my brothers and sisters. This has nothing to do with, oh, you're just jealous for the sake of being jealous. It's a heart issue. Because mind you, the Bible does not reference or say that what the relationship was with the brothers, the two brothers, with their parents, Adam and Eve. It did not begin where Abel or anything like that was favored by Adam, was favored by Eve. No. It didn't begin there. Because the Holy Spirit gave me an analogy, is that you can actually be accepted by your parents and be rejected by God. I'll say that again. You can be accepted by your parents and rejected by God. Let me give you an example. If Cain and Abel had come with each of their different perspective sacrifices and presented them to Adam and Eve, first of all, most likely they would have been proud of Cain in their fleshly mindset, because he took nothing from the ground and cultivated it, and now he has fruit from the ground. And so therefore his parents most likely would have said that they were proud of him because he took something from nothing and created something. And then they have Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and he slaughtered an animal or a sheep or what have you, and they were proud of him because he slaughtered and shed the blood, which was sacrificial as well. But however, both parents most likely would have said, good job, son, proud of you, son. Both parents would not have made a distinction at that point. But however, God made a distinction. It goes back to giving God what you wanted to give God versus what he required. Now, Abel was favored with God, or that his sacrifice was favored, because it is what God required, a slaughtered lamb and then the fat and all that sorts of thing. You know, the rites and the rituals that the Jewish are, you know, basically honored back in those times, and they still do today, but it's just not a live animal. Some are actually keeping that tradition, but most have done away with the live animal sacrifice and the shedding of the blood. However, Abel gave God what he desired, and Cain gave God what he thought God would desire. He gave God the fruit of his labor. He came before God with a puffed up mind and a puffed up heart, saying, look at me, look at me. But no, that's not a time where we're concerned about look at me, look at me. It's a time, God, holy art thou, O Lord, and I present you this sacrifice, hopefully that it will be holy and acceptable unto you. This is what we're supposed to do when we come before the Lord. It's not about look at me, I have arrived, look at me, I have a certain job type, look at me, I'm beautiful, look at me, I'm handsome, look at me, I have this this title position, look at me. No. When you come before the Lord, it is not about mankind. It is not about us. It is about him. It's about who he is and what he desires. And therefore, that is why Abel's sacrifice was honored and not Cain's. But as I stated, this is a deeper issue. It's about blood against blood. This is very significant. Both had the same mother, same father, but one was concerned about the things of God. And let's take it to modern day time. You may have a brother or sister, and it seems as that brother or that sister is favored more readily, is favored by the parent and not you. It seems like that brother or that sister is doing everything in the natural that's making their parents proud. They've gone to college, or they've started a business, or they're financially well off, or you know, they're just proud of them because of the things that they've accomplished. But maybe you haven't accomplished all that much compared to your sibling, but your heart is to the Lord. You say, I don't really have much to offer anyone, but I know I love the Lord. And you present your body as a living sacrifice. You're presenting your body holy and acceptable unto the Lord. But no one sees what you're doing behind closed doors. No one sees how much you are denying yourself. No one sees how much you pray and you fast and how much you cry, because you even cry unto the Lord because you don't understand why your mother or your father favors your siblings more than you. You are even looking at the situation like, what have I done? All I've ever tried to do was to do everything right to make them love me. But at the end of the day, you have been rejected. All your sacrifice and all of your labor for your parents has gone unnoticed. It's as if you have done nothing because they cannot see the actual tangible blessing, such as a gift or a monetary value or a purchase or a business they can walk into, or a business they can look online and reference and says it belongs to their son or their daughter. So basically all of the outward trappings of this world are evident in your brother and your sister's life, but only evidence in your life is that you go to church or you have a relationship with the Lord, you prophesy. You know, just what I'm saying is that you don't really have much tangible things to offer your parents, and therefore you are feeling rejected. But when the Holy Spirit actually settled me down and actually began to speak to me about these things in the natural, so many of us are off the mark. So many of us are off the mark, because even when you look at, or you may even know a brother or a sister whose mother has, and it's really, and I'm not just going to say the mother, because it's really devastating when one or the other parent rejects you, or even when there's a divorce situation or a never married situation and the father is not in the family. And even as you have tried and attempted to reach out to the mother or the father, if it's the mother that's not in the family, you're constantly slapped in the face that you're not wanted, you're not rejected, I mean, you're not desired. And so the Lord's saying is that we spend so much time trying to get the approval of our natural mother and father, which would be a normal or natural thing. But once you come into the kingdom of God and into the revelation of God saying, I will have no other gods before me, and I am a jealous God, that means he comes even before our mothers and our mothers and our fathers. He becomes before our husbands, our wives, our children. God says, I will have no other gods before me. I will have no other person, no other creation before me. But we spend so much time wanting their favor and their approval, and you're constantly slapped in the face. But on the other hand, you see that God has blessed you. God has healed you. God has delivered you. God is using you. But these are not the things that your parents are concerned about. It's like you're not able to give them a gift or a large purchase, a house or a car, whatever it is that they were looking for their children to bring to them. But you are bringing one of the most priceless things you could ever bring to anyone on earth, is to have a relationship with the Lord and know the Lord hears you, and you can see the manifestation in your life, because everything you say or you do, God blesses. But it may not always be monetarily. It may not always be monetarily. But at the end of the day, God wants you to stop crying. God wants you to stop hitting your head against the brick. God wants you to stop looking at the creation and look at the Creator. The Creator is saying, I love you. The Creator is saying, I'm protecting you. The Creator is saying that I loved you from the foundation of the earth. Even before your mother and father got together, you were already in my mind's eye. But there is a thing called sibling rivalry, as the world wants to call it, sibling rivalry. But yet there's something deeper: blood against blood, blood against blood. That's just one instance where the parents favor because of what the child has. But what about the parents are favoring one child because they make it a point to make sure that the other sibling is diminished in their eyes? Blood against blood. They do everything within their power to make sure that the focus is on child number one and not child two. The spirit of Cain wants to make sure that the focus is on him, child number one, and not child number two. So therefore, child number one, I'm just saying number one, I'm not talking about in the hierarchy of first, second, or third child. I'm just trying to talk about in the context of what we're talking about. I'm talking about the child who has a heart issue. The child really that has the heart issue also has an insecurity issue. Because anytime you have to make sure that someone else, by either lying or cheating or just waving the flag all the time, look at me, look at me, look at me, look what I'm doing, look what I'm saying, look where I'm going, look what I purchased, da-da-da. Anytime you've got to continue to wave that type of flag, now hear me, I'm not saying that it's not good to have those things. I'm not saying that if God blesses you with those things, that's one thing. But for you to always have to promote yourself, for you to always have to make sure that you're belittling your siblings that's behind you or your sibling because you want the favor from mother and father or whoever you live with, if it's a divorce situation or a never married situation, you're just trying to make sure that the focus is always on you. So you will lie, cheat, steal, and belittle your brother just to make sure that the acknowledgement and the favor stays on you. Brother against brother. But what happens is when it backfires, when you go before the Lord and you go before the Lord and you present the Lord with all your credentials, with all your credentials, I've sang in the choir, I've delivered, I've preached, I've taught, I've did all these things, Lord. I did all these things. But surely, surely you will let me into the kingdom of heaven. And you compare yourself continually with your brother or your sister who does not have all of the accolades that you have. But you don't know the condition of their heart, and their heart is pleasing unto God. Their heart, when God examines, because at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, it is a heart issue, period, and in a sentence. It's not going to matter what in the world that you have done in this natural life. The final examination will be the condition of our hearts on the day of judgment. When they roll back the replay from the time we were born to the time we exited the earth, and you look at yourself and how all of the maneuvers that you did just to get the favor with the boss, to get favor with man, to get favor in a relationship, to get favor everywhere. Now, honey, you don't have to get favor. First of all, God mantles his children with favor. So if you are not walking in favor and you think you have to hijack someone else's favor, you're a thief and a robber. You're a thief and a robber if you feel that you getting the favor because you had to belittle your brother or your sister, but you had to downplay or downgrade someone at work because you had to go behind someone's back and spread a lie or to get them, the other people, to fall out of favor with your brother or sister, and now they're in favor and cahoots with you. You are a robber and a thief, and you are a murderer. A robber, a thief, and a murderer. The spirit of Cain is a robber, a thief, and a murderer. And when the favor was not on him, it turned into a jealous rage and eventually murdering his brother. You may not be murdering your brother physically or your sister physically, but what you are doing is murdering them with your mouth. This is why God tells us, do not be a talebearer. Do not be a liar. Do not be a thief. Do not be a gossip. Do not be a backbiter. This is in the Bible, because you are actually with your lips murdering your brother, your sister, or someone that you are in fellowship with or in contact with. Your mouth is murdering someone. So do you think you are not going to be held accountable to that? The spirit of Cain, the spirit of Cain. So guess what? So God wouldn't even allow when Cain was met on the street. He even said, you cannot kill him. You know the worst thing, when you look at that? It's like you want to die and you can't. You want to die because the longer you probably walk this thing out, the longer you had time to think about what you did. The longer he had time to think about what he did. And whoever met him on the road, the word of God says they could not kill Cain. He was marked to not be killed. To not be killed. So you're going to wander. you're going to wonder. And each relationship you get into, you're going to continue to have to wonder, and you're going to try to fight for favor. You're going to have to try to fight for favor. Each and every relationship you get in, you feel that you've got to manipulate and control the situation because you don't understand that in order to have favor, God already mantles you with favor. Already mantles you with favor. It is not your job to compare yourself with your sister and your brother. Each of us have different DNA. Each of us have different fingerprints and footprints. So if God wanted us to all be clones, he would have made us clones. Don't you think he was more powerful enough to make us the way he wanted to make us? But he gave us each unique fingerprints, footprints. So that means God did not want a clone. I gave you a gift. I gave your brother or sister a gift. I gave you different gifts, just like the body of Christ. I give different gifts, but it's a part of the entire vine. It helps the entire body. So I gave you a gift of administration, but I gave someone else a gift of prophecy. I gave someone else a gift of this, and your brother and your sister a gift of that. So who decides what gift is better? Who decides that? You've fallen into the trap of not really understanding and knowing the word of God. You're listening to all of the false prophets who are stating that, okay, the highest, one of the highest callings is this and that. I want to be a bishop, or I want to be an apostle. Da, 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 da. Okay, they want to be that, but did God mantle you with that? Did God call you with that? Because what you don't understand is that there are ranks of demons assigned to each different gift. To each different gift. So there's different ranks assigned to the apostle. There's different ranks of demonic activity assigned to the preacher, the teacher, the evangelist. There are different ranks. So you can't just call yourself an apostle and then you don't understand why your life is going the way it's going, because there's a different rank and hierarchy in the demonic realm that's assigned to that particular title in the Bible. So if you are just a teacher calling yourself just a teacher, not just a teacher, because every gift is vital, but I'm just saying, if you are graced, let's put it that way, to be a teacher, but you want the title of being an apostle because it gets more clout in the natural, but you don't understand why everything around you is being destroyed and why you are so overwhelmed and oppressed and depressed. Oh, you say, oh, it just comes with the title. No, maybe you're operating outside of your gifting, your grace. You're operating outside of your grace. So the spirit of Cain comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay, like it's talked about in Joseph. Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. To the mere fact that they were so jealous of him, all because he had a dream. See, God gave him a gift of interpretation. But because he did not understand what he was going to say to his brothers, now we don't know whether he was saying it to be braggadocious when he told them about he dreamed about the coat of many colors and how his brothers was bowing down to him. We don't know whether he was speaking that to be braggadocious, or he was just excited, because many of us, when we have dreams, I don't even think sometimes we think about who we're sharing it with. We're just so excited about a revelation that God has showed us, and we think that everyone is going to be happy or embrace what God has shown us in the dream. So little did he know that based upon the dreams that he had, his brothers were going to become extremely jealous and cahooted to have him killed. But yet they didn't kill him. They just left him somewhere, I guess, for dead, and told their father that their son was that his son was dead. Now, why did they do that also? Because Joseph was also favored with his father. Joseph was favored with his father. And the rest of his brothers did not like that. So therefore, there was the favor that came from the father. In what way, we don't know. But he loved Joseph so. He was favored. And then secondly, he had a dream showing his brothers bowing down to them. So therefore, brother against brother. Brother against brother. Jealousy, envy. The spirit of Cain involves a spirit of also insecurity. You're insecure when you think that someone else is above you. You have not found yourself. You have not found what you truly are blessed, graced, and gifted to do. And even if you have, and mankind is not receptive to that gifting, but God is, who are you going to rely more on? Yes, it's natural for us to want to have favor with men, but at what cost? Yes, we want to have favor with men. At what cost? Because men will love you today, and I'm talking about men and mankind in general. They will love you today, and then you do something wrong tomorrow. Oh, now you're the worst thing that will grace the earth. Man is fickle. God told us in his word not to trust the arm of man, because the arm of man is fickle, but not the arm of God. Would you rather deny yourself and be a servant of the Most High God? And when I say deny yourself, I mean not to live all these sinful pleasures that everyone else seems to be enjoying, but don't understand that there's a cost. There's a cost for everything, brothers and sisters. There's a cost for living a life of lawlessness and sinfulness and debauchery, and there's a price for the favor of God. There is a price for the favor of God. There's a price that Jesus had to pay for him to come up with all power in his hands, to steal and to take the keys of death, sickness, illness, disease, infirmity, everything. There was a price that he had to pay, and Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for us. And you and us and we as his children are going to have to pay a price, and that is to live a life of consecration. And when I'm speaking about a life of consecration, I'm not talking about a life that you wearing the long dresses and no makeup and all of that, and that's a life of sanctification and crosses. No, I'm not talking about that. What you have to understand is that doctrine has made consecration and sacrifice an outward thing. It is an inward thing. Is your heart circumcised? Is your heart pure? Do you have pure motives? Do you have pure thoughts? Is your heart toward God? When you, even though you go to church, but you hate your brother, even you go to church and you talk about your pastor, you go to church and you talk about the woman on the front row, you talk about the woman with the big hat, you talk about the woman who wears the nice shoes all the time, your mouth is running, you're on your phone soon as the church is over, you're gossiping, you're backbiting, you're smoking your cigarette, you're drinking your wine, you're doing all of these things. Is your heart circumcised, brother and sister? That's what essentially everything boils down to. At the end of the day, we're going to be judged by the way we treated our brothers and our sisters, fellow man, and we're going to be judged by the condition of our heart. Many heart attacks, and these are the things, these are the manifestation, not of high blood pressure. That is what man called it. No, it's called the spirit in your heart. It's a heart condition. It is not high blood pressure that's passed down from generation to generation. No. It's a spirit that passed down from generation to generation, and it's because of the hardness of the heart of the people that have come from your lineage. You like to fuss. You like to fight. You like to cut. And your blood pressure is always up, because you always on attack mode. You always ready. Nobody's getting to me. No. I'm going to take you out before you take me. You're always on high alert. That can't be for the entire duration of your lifetime, and you don't think you're going to check out of here early. You can't be an angry person and don't think you're not going to check out of here early. That is a manifestation of a hardness of heart, or it's a manifestation of insecurity. You have been hurt, and you have been wounded so much, and you say, I'm going to back that person up. I'm going to either beat you down with my fist, or I'm going to beat you down with my mouth. But one or the other, you're going to get beat down. You've got to check the condition of your heart. Brother against brother, blood against blood, blood against blood. This spirit will try. Spirit will also try, not just your blood relatives, but we know that those around us, our friends and our family, this spirit will also try to trap them into following them, and for them to become the more favored, and to move them away from you because they don't want you to have any sort of recognition whatsoever. This spirit of Cain. Spirit of Cain is very selfish. The spirit of Cain does not concern itself with others, only what he wants or she wants, the spirit of Cain. And let's be clear, I'm not just speaking about a man when I'm talking about the spirit of Cain. I'm talking about women as well. The spirit of Cain is no joke if you don't recognize what you're dealing with. God does not think like man thinks. Man does not think like man thinks. Man gives you favor because you buy them things and you give them things. You purchase things. You're always giving, 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 giving. And you can, and they can always see what you're going to give them. It's very tangible. A house, a car, a boat, this and that. You know, the man is favored because he gives you all of these things. But what about his heart? Even Satan can buy you nice things. Satan can buy you nice things. Satan prophesied. He knows the word. He knows the word in part. He was an angel of light. All of these things, we're concerned, so concerned with the outward, the fleshiness. Why do you think Eve was not concerned, or why Eve was not afraid when she saw Lucifer, son of the morning, when he tempted her? Think about it, y'all. Because the curse was he had to crawl on the ground and become like a snake. That means that that was not who appeared to Eve. What appeared to Eve probably was some well-dressed, nice-looking man and convinced Eve to take a bite of the fruit, to go against the commandments of God. So let's stop being so delusional and so focused on the outward appearance of someone, a man or a woman. Your concern should be, what is the condition of their heart? Is there a heart for you? A rich man can buy you anything and then go and sleep with somebody else in the next few hours after he drop you off. A poor man will do the same thing. But what I'm saying to you is, let us not be so externally focused. Cain was externally focused. Fruit from the ground, and he puffed up his heart, and that's what he served the Lord. And the Lord was not pleased because he discerned his heart. And his heart was vanity. His heart was vanity. And Abel was one of submission. Vanity versus submission. God does not think like man. Do you hear what I'm saying? God does not think like man. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And Satan uses this very thing against God's chosen. God's chosen will always sometimes look like they are getting the short end of the stick. Look at it in the Bible. God didn't use, and you have to look at the times and the situations and when God did not use your own flesh and blood. God did not use David's flesh and blood to make sure that he was crowned king and to protect him. It was a stranger. But as a matter of fact, it was just a friend, because Jonathan was the son of Saul. Actually, have you ever thought about it, that Jonathan should have been the rightful heir? But God ordained David when he was early, because God already knew the end of the thing from the beginning. So when you look at the actual lineage, when Saul died, it actually should have been Jonathan. But Jonathan also died as well. But God did not use David's seven brothers. God did not use David's seven brothers. God did not use Joseph's brothers. He used a stranger. And even that stranger, that king, had him in prison, but that's favor. That's favor. You can be in prison, but you have favor from actually the actual enemy. That's favor. God gave him a gift, which was a tool for his deliverance of his people ultimately when the famine came. God did not use blood relatives. God did not use blood relatives in Joseph's situation. He did not use blood relatives in David's situation. God did not use blood relatives in Abraham's situation. As a matter of fact, God told Abraham to get thee away from thy kindred. Why does the word of God tell us that Jesus, as powerful as he was, he did not have much impact by the people he grew up with? That's why it says a prophet has no honor in his own home. The people are too familiar with you, and sometimes it's jealousy to see where God has taken you. Blood against blood. So I came to talk to you today and to encourage you even as I had to encourage myself, that just because it looks like there's favor in the family on certain siblings and you seem to be the black sheep, but you know you have a relationship with the Lord and you know that Lord talks to you and the Lord does favor you in instances where you should not have had favor. But you know when he takes care of that bill out of nowhere. You know the way he's healed your body out of nowhere. You know when he communicates and talks with you in the cool of the day like he did Adam initially before the fall. You know you have a relationship with the Lord. You're just not out there on the main scene of the focus. But you're behind on the backside of the mountain praying for your sisters and your brother, praying for your parents, praying for the nation, praying for the world. You are not seen, intercessor. You are not seen. You are on the backside of the mountain on your knees, crying and talking to God, the greatest intercessor there ever was, even though they talk about he led the children of Israel, was Abraham. I mean, Moses. Moses interceded how many times on behalf of the children of Israel? Always talking to God. When God was angry and displeased about their murmuring and complaining and being disobedient, it was always Moses interceding on their behalf. Now, to me, that's impact, and God listened. That's impact, and God listened. God, Moses didn't want to be out front, but God caused him to be out front. There's a difference. Moses did not want to be out front. He fought being a deliverer for many years until God caused him to be out front. Usually those that God calls don't really want to be out front, but God causes them to be out front. Because once you get out front, all eyes are on you. You become a target. You become the topic of conversation. It's just like a celebrity. In a way, you can't go anywhere without someone knowing who you are, trying to figure out what you're doing, trying to figure out how to get next to you, or trying to take you down, one or the other. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You have to be graced by God to be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy, to be graced by God. You, my brother and sister, are favored by the Lord. Though they slay me like Job said, yet will I trust him. Though you have been ostracized, though you feel like you're the black sheep of the family, though you feel like your brother or your sister had the favor, you must understand your position and your authority in God. Your position and your authority in God. Because no matter how much they try to belittle you, they have to admit God continues to excel in your life. He said, I'll never see the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. He, you have never been truly forsaken. Because God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lean on God. Lean more on him. Lean not to your own understanding. Does not God say this? Stop formulating in your mind your position because you're wrong. Your position in God most likely is higher than the position that they have with your mother and your father. Their position only remains that way as long as they're receiving the things that they're receiving from that child. Or even it may not even be that child that has all the things. It may be the child that's needy. And they're always in trouble, always needing guidance, always needing attention. And you're the one that seems to be stable, and you're the one that seems to have things together, and people don't think that strong people need encouragement, and strong people don't need affirmation, and strong people don't need, you know, an embrace, a hug, a kiss, or every now and then. But the focus is always on the needy one. So, brothers and sisters, I'm getting ready to wrap up right now. But I want you to know today that you are favored of the Lord. You are favored of the Lord. And any time it looks like that you've been treated like the black sheep, and you've been misunderstood. People may call you a holy roller. People may ostracize you, don't want to be around you. Friends that you had before say that you've changed. Friends that you had before saying now that, you know, they don't want you around because they don't want you to see what they're doing behind closed doors. My brothers and sisters, if you hear me at the sound of my voice, understand that we don't know the day nor the hour. I know that people are that Jesus is coming and all these sorts of things, and he is coming, but we don't know how close he is. God says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. He's going to talk about, you know, all sorts of things that will be happening in the earth, and they are happening now. But would you not rather know that you have done all you could do to please God the Father and not yourself, to know one day that you will reign with King, to know one day that you will judge angels? The word says this, because you kept your heart pure before the Lord and you carried out his commandments. No, God didn't say he called perfection. He says, I call your heart to be circumcised. You're not going to get it right all the time. Call your heart to be circumcised toward your fellow man. Yes, though they slay you, yet will you trust me. Did I not tell you that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? Did I not tell you that I will make you a table in the presence of your enemies? Did I not tell you that I called you to eat the good of the land? Did I not tell you that the plans I have for you are good and expected end? Did I not tell you that you don't have to fight? I am Jehovah Gabor, the God of war. Did I not tell you that I have never seen the righteous forsaken on their seed begging for bread? Did I not tell you to press toward the mark of the high calling, not the middle calling or the low calling? I never called you to be low. I never called you to be beneath. I never called you to be average. Did I not tell you to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you? Did I not tell you in Psalms 91 that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty? Did I not tell you, if you love me, you will eat, you will keep my commandments? Did I not tell you? God is telling us he gave us all the instructions how to live out this life, this thing called life. God gave us the instructions. He gave us the plan. And when you love him, it's not hard to do. It's not hard to do. You just have to shut out some things at your eye gate. You have to shut out some things in your ear gate. Because these are the things that pollute the soul. You keep looking on something long enough, you're going to want to do it. You keep hearing those type songs long enough, you're going to want to do something. You keep listening to that man and that woman speaking these things into your ear, you're going to want to do something. But it's up to you to shut down those gates. Shut down those gates. And let the King of Glory come in. Shut down those evil, demonic, sensuous gates. And be a manifested, walking and talking, manifested daughter and son of God. Because this earth is going to need you. This world is going to need you. It doesn't matter how much money you have, someone is going to get sick. It doesn't matter how much money you have, this world doesn't care about that. Because the prince of the air is the father of lies. It's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And you're going to want someone that knows how to get a prayer through. You're going to have to want someone that knows how to pray and God hears them. Your money can't buy God. Your money can't buy a healing. It can buy a good doctor, but it can't buy a true healing. Your money can't buy what only God can do. Your money can't buy it. Your favor can't buy it. Your money and your favor can get you into some prominent people, but only God can heal. Only God can deliver. Only God can bless when you're on his side. I'm not talking about Satan. I'm not giving him credit right now. This is all about God. I'm not talking about being blessed by the dark side. I'm talking about God Almighty. And even with the dark side, if you understand, even in the book of Genesis, before I close, even in the book of Genesis, when the Chaldeans who worked for Pharaoh tried to replicate the same miracles that Moses did, they can only replicate two. But that Moses did 10. And even in the replication, even with the stick, with the rod, and Moses, God turned it into a snake. And then the Chaldeans did the same thing. But then as they begin to watch, the rod turned into a snake and ate Pharaoh's snake. Moses' rod that turned into a snake ate Pharaoh's snake. So even in the replication of trying to do the miracles that God did, and the Chaldeans doing witchcraft, but at the end of the day, God is still more powerful. God is still more powerful. So my brothers and sisters, I'm going to pray for you right now before I close. And if you have been someone that has been dealing with a brother or sister issue and seems like you're the black sheep and they have been favored, be encouraged. Because I would rather have the favor of God than to lose my integrity trying to have the favor of men. Young lady, I would rather have the favor of God than to have that man who wants you to do things that will bring your integrity into question. Knowing that you are a daughter of God and you're desiring to get married, but you feel like you must sleep with this man in order to get him to say yes. Now, when you really think about that, what spirit is in operation in you that you feel that you have to sleep with this man in order to get him to like you, want you, keep you, and marry you versus a man after God's own heart who would not even put you to that test, who would not even put you through that? Because he knows who you are. He knows your quality material. And a man of God wouldn't put you through that in order just to test it, as they like to say. So I say this. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. Be encouraged, for the Lord thy God has need of you. Be encouraged and look not to the right nor to the left. But look to the hills of which cometh your help, because your help cometh from the Lord. And understand that the favor of God is better, so much better than the favor of man. Because it's God who said, I can turn the heart of the king. I can turn the heart of man at any time. The heart of man at any time. Don't belittle yourself. Don't cry yourself to sleep another night. Because God has need of you. And just wait. Just wait. Your turn is coming. Your turn is coming. God has you reserved for such a time as this. God has you reserved for such a time as this. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage and let him strengthen your heart. Strength and honor are your clothing. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Stop looking at this natural stuff. Yes, we're in the world, but not of it. Be strong in the Lord. God bless you. God keep you. I'll see you next Sunday. Be encouraged. And we'll just see if the Lord continues on the same vein of Jezebel, or see if he changed it. But he changed it today. We talk about the spirit of Cain. Because many of us are dealing with the spirit of Cain, but we don't know how to deal with it. You've got to resolve in yourself that God has not forgotten you. You've got to resolve in yourself and to know that just because someone else seems to be favored, that doesn't mean that God has not favored you. Take courage, and I'll see you next week. In Jesus' name, amen.